Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So, it's time to find out who has won, and the judges have said it was the closest final they've ever had and the hardest decision they've ever had to make.
OK, the winner is... Peter.
Trey Kirby, and welcome to a very special, no, a very great episode of No Dunks. Joined today by the man making the marzipan happen, JD.
Hello.
Today, we're lucky enough to be going one-on-one with a No Dunks fan who gets busy with the pan. He brings the heat in the kitchen and on the badminton court. He's a baller and a baker. The winner of the Great British Bake Off Series 11, or... Collection 8, depending on where you're watching. Peter Sawkins. Peter, thank you so much for joining us.
Ayo, nice to see you. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, a quick little backstory here on why we're talking to Peter. It wasn't too long ago during a Beach Steppin' episode that we got talking about the Great British Bake Off and how some of us have taken to the show and the slow-natured quality of it, the friendship behind it, the amazing outfits that we see from Prue and Noel. Surprising us, however, was when your brother, Andrew, emailed saying you've been listening to No Dunks since we were the starters. You even sent us a starter's cake back in the day. A straight-up wedgie cake. Peter, this is incredible, man.
Yeah, we've just been a massive fan of the show for so long. You guys kind of got us into basketball in quite a big way because we always played at school. Not a terrific standard in the Scottish school system over here, but my mid-range two game, that's on point, definitely. That's my sweet spot.
Yeah, we were stoked when we heard that you were a fan of the show. To be honest, we were kind of already pulling for you after that big Star Baker week one, but as soon as we heard that you listened to No Dunks, no doubt we were locked in on you. From then on, every Monday before we would start recording the show, JD, Skeets, and I, the main bake-off watchers, were saying, hey, Peter, it's looking pretty good out there for him. I think this guy's going to win. Now, we finally got the setup. We're finally chatting. You pulled it off, man, the youngest winner in bake-off history. What's it been like for you to win the bake-off?
It's been kind of mental, actually. Yeah, just getting on the show was crazy enough because I've been a huge fan of the show for so long. And you just want to get on and have fun and be there. And I just wanted to, like, go through the process and stay there as long as I could. But now that I've won it, didn't quite sink in for a while how big that was. But it's just been the most crazy whirlwind after it. Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was, it must have been during the finale. One of the hosts, Matt, he comes up to you and he says something along the lines of, yeah, once this comes out, everybody's going to be following you around university with their phone saying, hey, that's the guy from Bake Off. That's the guy that won Bake Off. Is that exactly what happened?
It's been quite chill, but there's, you know, I have a couple photos with folk every day, but they're always really nice. They always come say hi. They're fans of the show. They come and say hi. So it's always been good interactions I've been having, but slightly odd to have people wanting to take a selfie with me.
What have you been up to since the show ended? It's been a little bit, about a month now, and like you mentioned on the show, you're still a university student. You still got real life things going on as well.
Yeah, I finished my exams 2 days ago from the semester, so I'm finally clear of exams. So I had that going on, and then I've just been trying to do as much fun stuff like this as I possibly can. This is an absolute crazy thing. Never thought I'd be talking on No Dunks. So this is awesome. I was on Good Morning America live from my university flat. That was nuts and slightly terrifying. I've been on a kid show over here in the UK, so I'm just riding the wave and having fun with it, you know?
Oh, I don't blame you. It was fun to watch. I just love the show. I love how, honestly, how friendly everybody is to each other. That is such a difference when you're watching, you know, JD, Skeets, and I were also huge Survivor fans. On Survivor, you get there day one, they're like, "I am not here to make friends." Whereas day one on the Bake Off, it seems like you people have known each other for, I don't know, 6 years ahead of time or something like that. It feels like you're all actually rooting for each other when you're out there.
Yeah, we side note there. I feel like I know Survivor from listening to all the No Buffs podcasts over lockdown. I've never seen it, but I feel like I know the show. In the tent, we all got on so well. It was a genuinely lovely bunch of people, which was a really good thing because we were locked down in that bubble together for 8 weeks. But you just wanted everyone to do well. It only got a little bit odd at the end when it was into the final, and
Sure.
you wanted everyone to do well, but you wanted yourself to do just that bit better than
The
everyone
most
else.
well.
Yeah.
And you did. If I'm not mistaken, you said on the show that your flatmates at university didn't know you were going to be on the show. Isn't that right? What happened when you turned it on? Because, I mean, obviously you're a fan. They're probably thinking, oh, Peter just wants to watch his show. No big deal. Let's see what's going on here. Wait, that's Peter!
Yeah, it was good fun that one of my flatmates I was flatmates with last year, so he knew all the way through right from the start when I was applying. But then two new guys this year, didn't know that I was on the show. So my name was released, I think, the week before. One guy went absolutely nuts. The other guy, Fraser, is quite chilled, quite relaxed. So one morning, he just came into the kitchen for breakfast, peered around the door, and went, "Pete, you're on Bake Off." And I was like, yeah. So that was quite nice to have that chilled vibe, not going absolutely nuts as most of my friends were.
Was it hard to keep it from them that you actually had won? Because it had already been taped, obviously. So did you tell anybody? Did you have a hard time keeping it under your hat?
I think myself and Jamie, the flatmate that did know the outcome, we had a great time just torturing them. there was a few weeks I didn't do so well, and they thought I was going out, and they were just on the sofa when we were watching it together, and they were terrified. So we had fun messing with them.
Has it changed the expectations around the flat for you at all? Or are your buddies expecting all of your food to be star baker quality when it comes out of the oven?
We've got a good flat for food and cooking. Three of us make bread. Basically, we've basically got a fresh loaf every single day. It's good. We go through a lot of carbs, and I don't know. I just love to bake, so having people that want to receive the baking is always good. Lots of friends around to try stuff.
And obviously, the skills were already up to snuff before to even get on the show. I'm sure they're like, "Man, Peter, you should apply for the Bake Off." Haha, gotcha. I won it instead. But let's get into the nitty-gritty a little bit here. I've got about a billion questions about the Bake Off. You mentioned it before. You were in a bubble for this season, the first time, obviously, that's happened. You said they were there for 8 weeks. From watching previous seasons, it feels like the way things work is you're there on the weekends, you bake Saturday and Sunday or whatever these 2 days are, then you go back and you practice for the next week if you advance. I assume that's the case. Obviously, things were different during the bubble. You said you were there for 8 weeks. What was that experience like?
Yeah, it was quite a interesting summer that I had, being locked down in a hotel with, Matt Knoll, Paul and Prue, all the other bakers. I thought it was the most fun place to be because the rest of the UK was locked down, and we were
Sure.
in a baking bubble, playing tennis, playing football, baking up a storm in the tent. So we just had a great time in there. It was quite intense, loads and loads of baking. We'd film 2 days on and then have 2 days off where we'd practice in practice tents that they'd set up. But I love baking. I love people that around that were chatting about baking. So it was just the best summer camp that you could possibly be in.
And you're a Bake Off super fan. So, I think the tip you gave about listening to your cakes, you got that from watching Bake Off, if I'm not mistaken, right? I'm listening to my own baking right now. I don't know what I'm supposed to be listening for, but I like to put my ear next to it, so I feel like I'm doing the right thing. It must have been awesome for you to not only to make it to the Bake Off, to not only be competing in it, but like you're saying, you are getting to spend a whole bunch more time with Paul and Prue and Matt and Noel than probably contestants had in the past. It must have been pretty cool to be, I don't know, it seemed like you were in a stately manner for your bubble, which that's all right too, but it must be really cool to be just seeing these legends walking around.
Yeah, it was phenomenal because I'm just such a Bake Off nerd and a Bake Off geek. It was like Bake Off overload every single day. And some of the crew as well, some of the crew had been working on the show for all 11 series that there had been. So you were hearing stories about years gone by, and I was just taking it all in and loving it all.
Is there any reason that you know, or is it just a thing that has always been the case? Why does the Bake Off happen in a tent? Why a tent?
Yeah, the tent is a weird one. I think it's just because it was in the tent. The first year that they ever did it, they moved around different parts of the UK every week. So I think the tent was there, so it was like mobile, they can move it around to different parts of the UK. And then it just became such a massive hit. And the tent is so much a part of the cozy feel to the show. If the Bake Off wasn't in a tent, it wouldn't be the Bake Off, I don't think. It certainly raises some challenges when you're baking. But it's that cozy, fun feel that we all look for from the Bake Off.
Yeah, it's certainly become an iconic piece of the show. But like you're saying, it seems like y'all would run into some troubles when it would get super duper hot outside. And then you're inside this, I don't know what the tent is made of, but you can definitely see, like, you know, the plastic borders on the thing. Is it just getting super, super hot in there because it's hot outside? Everybody inside is stressed out, working as hard as they can. You got ovens going at 200 degrees Celsius. I had to change my notes for this to update to the correct temperature scale. But yeah, I have to imagine it's not easy to be doing chocolate work. That seems to be one of the toughest things you could be doing.
No, it's tough. So I'm from Edinburgh in Scotland, which we don't get particularly hot summers. We were filming down in the south of England, which for me was like being in the Caribbean. It was just like absolutely roasting. So I was already up 10 degrees or something. Still probably nothing compared to you guys in Atlanta. But it was hot for me. And then in the tent, when the ovens are on, when there's loads of people in there, because you've obviously got the camera crew and the presenters, the tent can rise sort of 5 or 10 degrees Celsius above what it is outside. Ooh. So, you know, when you're working with white chocolate, that'll melt at like 25 degrees Celsius. And we were working sometimes into 38, 39 Ooh. Degrees. So it was pretty tough to do, pretty tough to deal with.
Were there elements of the production that you, other than the temperature, that affected your baking? I read an article about the sound edit of the show, because of course I did. Basically, it said that they limited the level that you could put the mixer up, right? Because of the sound. Is that something that actually happened? Like, were you limited to how high you could put a mixer? Or another example, is I read that they want to get a shot of everything coming out of the oven, right? So were there times where you were wanting to take something out of the oven, but you couldn't because you had to get a camera person over there, lickety split?
No, I mean, the production team are all fantastic. And as a baker, you know that you're making a TV show. Right. But at the end of the day, if you need to do something in your baking, they're happy for you to do that. Because they want you to do really well and to make the bake the best that you can. So they would never like stop you from taking something out of the oven. There was no limit on mixers or anything. So, you know, it's all about the baking at the end of the day. It's just that as a baker, you're aware that they have to make a TV show. So you want to help them out with that as mm-hmm. as much as you can. But at the end of the day, you've got this time to bake. You have to bake the best thing that you can. And they support that all the way.
I love it.
And how fast do they clean up? Because between like the baking and some of the stations were a goddamn disaster, not naming names, Laura, but how do they get them clean so fast? And was there a time when you were worried that your creation would collapse because of the time that you were waiting between cleanup and judging?
It is the most amazing feeling to have been baking for like 4.5 hours and have your bench covered in icing sugar and frosting and all manner of horrible stickiness. And then you just leave the tent, and then this amazing team of superheroes walks in. They clean it up in like 5-10 minutes, the whole of the tent, and it's absolutely phenomenal what they do. We had, I think it was the cube cake challenge where we all had mirror glazes, and that was the one where Laura's bench was quite messy that day, and a couple of the crew took a photo of the bench because it was quite something. But they come in and they just clear it all up like nothing. It's amazing.
There are so many things I wish we could have both ways. For example, a zero-calorie cheeseburger. How about red wine without the headache? A dog that never poops. That'd be heaven. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords, stiff chinos, rather than effortless comfort. But it's possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. I'm sorry, Don Draper. This is 2024. I want to look good and feel comfortable. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I got a little bit of everything. The air-knit boxer briefs are so good. The Ace sweatpant, mad comfy, but also great tailored fit. And because this is the summer of Henleys, yeah, I'm calling it, it's the summer of Henleys, you know I threw a few of them in my virtual shopping cart. Peacocking is for the birds, baby. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. They're not flashy, just classic. Sort of like a No Dunks podcast. Always in style, always crazy comfortable. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code NODUNKS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code NODUNKS.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If people who haven't watched the show might not understand the format of it, every single week when y'all come back, you've got a theme for the week, and that's what your three different recipes are going to be: your signature, your technical, and then your showstopper. What was the most intimidating week for you?
Most intimidating week for me was the quarterfinal. That was dessert week. So I very nearly went out of the competition that week. It was not good for me from the start. And it was one of those things that the recipes that I had to do, we had to make a jelly cake for the showstopper, which I just didn't like the idea of it from the start. So my recipe.
Who does?
Great.
It's jelly cake. who eats this stuff?
To be fair, though, actually, from that challenge, it was one of the best bakes from the whole series, probably. I don't know if you remember Armin's jelly cake with the poppy, and it was absolutely phenomenal. But I just didn't have that in me. I think I'm going to stay away from for a while. It's put me off a bit.
What were the thoughts going through your head when they said the theme this week, 80s week? If I'm not mistaken, you're born in the 2000s, Peter.
Yeah, born in 2000. But I had so much, that week was so much fun. That week's probably the hottest that had been in the tent. So we all got a bit doolally in the heat. There was ice cream going on in like stupid temperatures. We were deep frying donuts in stupid temperatures. And I don't know, 80s food is fun. 80s food was good, but I wasn't particularly knowledgeable about it myself. But the challenges that they put were great.
One of my favorite bakes you had the entire season, it was pastry week. You did Kedgeree pasties. You said they were haddock, but I know you're a No Dunks fan, Peter. Were these Bass-inspired pasties?
Yeah, they're...
yeah, totally.
That's all we wanted.
Yeah, you wouldn't be catching pastry fish out of any lakes, but They go a bit soggy if they're there to catch.
Did you ever listen to No Dunks while you were practicing? Were you able to draw inspiration from the classic podcast to make these classic bakes?
I remember distinctly listening to the pod in the bubble when you guys were discussing the NBA bubble getting up and running and like the concerns about if the bubble would be safe, if it would work. And we were obviously in a much smaller bubble than the NBA one. But I was thinking to myself, oh no, it's working. We're proving that this thing works. So don't worry about it. It's all going to be absolutely fine.
I guess we should have had you on right away. That way we would have gotten the 411. Another thing I was always impressed with, Peter, you did a ton of gluten-free baking. It almost seemed like you were just trying to make things harder for yourself to come up with something that looks incredible, tastes incredible, and is also gluten-free. I think you mentioned in the first episode that your brother eats gluten-free mostly, so I assume it's partly an homage to your brother. But is that kind of where the inspiration for all these gluten-free bakes came from?
Yeah, absolutely. My brother's been gluten intolerant for 10, 12 years, so most of the time that I've been baking, so it's just part of how I bake. And I think a lot of things you can make gluten-free, and you can adapt things for people with allergies and intolerances that taste just as good as the real thing. So I really like that I got to share that, because it kind of shows that it just stands up against the regular version of it, and you can make some really great things even if you have to amend them.
Sure. I remember seeing on your Instagram that you would kind of advertise, yeah, these bakes that I'm doing this week, these ones are the gluten-free bakes. So surely you're connecting with people out there. Do you think it also would win you some bonus points that, you know, surely the judges know how hard it is to make something taste delicious that's gluten-free. So it's got to be a little bit of a feather in your cap.
I think the judging has to be completely, blanket. If you're making it for an intolerance when they've not asked for it, it's got to be just as good and stack up against the things. So I only did it for things I knew would come out really, really well. But the response from like the celiac community online and people that do have these intolerances has been amazing. They've really loved seeing it. So that's been a nice thing to be able to share with them.
Definitely. I thought that was very cool. We mentioned earlier that you're in Edinburgh right now. You're at university studying, but obviously you're an NBA fan. What's the basketball scene like over there for you?
The basketball scene, our uni has pretty good basketball team. They're really good. The women's team are a very good one indeed. It's obviously not quite the same. It doesn't not quite the same as over in the States. But the NBA is huge over here, and it really, you know, makes its way into culture, and everyone knows about it. Everyone chats about the NBA from, you know, the massive online presence that it's got. So it really is a big thing even over in Scotland.
Very cool. Do you when you're following the league, are you more interested in the players? Are you more interested in the teams? I imagine it's a little bit different following it from afar rather than, you know, like I grew up a Bulls fan, so I'm always going to be excited about what the Bulls are doing. Whereas if you came to it a little bit later, perhaps you're just picking up on the guys that you really enjoy watching.
Yeah, so we first got a TV package that had NBA games on it when about 6 years ago. So we'd record the games that were on at like 1 a.m. our time, and then we'd watch them the next morning, fast through all the adverts and everything. And strangely, I found myself in 2015 in the playoffs, I became a Clippers fan. And I became a Clippers fan in the 3-1 series, the series against the Rockets, where we blew a 3-1 lead. And I don't know why, but I just found myself backing them all the way and really wanting them to win. So I have stuck a Clippers fan, and I'm a Clippers fan for life from that point, and can't move away. So it's quite nice to have a team that you can go and support, because it's harder to just watch all of the basketball.
How are you feeling about the Clippers this year? I got to say it, Peter. They blew another 3-1 lead last year. It's tough when you start watching basketball, and in the first 6-7 years of it, your team blows a 3-1 lead twice. Tough one.
Yeah, and my flatmate Fraser is also a basketball fan. He doesn't have a specific team, but he decided to support the Nuggets this season for the playoffs. So we were 3-1 up. I was talking some big talk, going absolutely no way that we can lose it. And I was crushed. It was horrible. But hopefully this season, I think we need to get the mindset back from the year before. It was a bit more grit and grind.
For sure.
Every game counted. And then last year, I think it was a bit more complacent. So hopefully get the mindset back with the top-notch talent on top of that. And it'll be a good season, hopefully.
Yeah, I think they're gonna look pretty good this year. And we'll get to see them right away. Clippers, Lakers coming this week. Should be fun. Christmas Day, another huge day on the NBA schedule. We got just a week until Christmas. Also a huge day, obviously, for baking. Peter, what are you going to be making for Christmas?
I am going to be making a version of the ice cream Christmas cake that I made in the tent.
Nice.
So that's going to be on the table for Christmas pudding. Very excited for it.
Yeah, it looked awesome on the show. Probably going to be awesome at your house. I'm not good at baking. I don't have the eye for detail for it, Peter. But what's something that, like, a novice baker such as myself, Skeets, JD, whoever it is, what should we make for Christmas? I'm thinking cinnamon rolls.
Oh, cinnamon rolls are good. And actually, if you can make cinnamon rolls, that's quite technical. That's quite challenging. You can make a ton of other stuff. You can make cinnamon rolls. You can make Stollen. That's the German kind of bread cake thing. That's amazing. And sort of like quite a similar technique to cinnamon rolls. So I think you could lean into that. A recommendation. I don't know how big like Christmas fruitcakes are in the States. But if you can get your hands on a fruitcake, a Christmas cake, get a tub of vanilla ice cream, mix the Christmas cake through, and then you've made yourself Christmas cake ice cream. And it is the best thing in the world. So easy. And it is the best thing. So that is my recommend for Christmas Day. And you don't even have to make anything, really.
Just mix it up.
Just mix it up.
Sounds easy enough. We made Tassie a full fruitcake in 30 minutes once upon a time. Mm. I don't think I'll go that route. I think the mixing with ice cream seems like a better idea.
Yeah, you don't need to eat a full cake in 30 minutes.
What would y'all do with all of the cakes when they're done? So, you know, you start off with a bunch of bakers in the first round. Even in the final one, you're making three cakes. That's a lot of cake to go around. What's going on with all those pieces? They look delicious. How are Paul and Prue taking one bite and then calling it a day? No way.
I ate so much cake over the summer. I just ate so much. So they'd slice it up after, and they'd bring a tray to all the bakers that we could try each other's baking. And then there was like 120, 130 people in the bubble. So plenty of mouths to feed. Sure. So most of the baking was eaten and enjoyed. It was good stuff.
So Peter, I follow you on Instagram, and I've seen you smash badminton opponents into the ground. Like you're in a very intense competitor. You were very intense on Bake Off. And, you know, we talked about earlier how it was like summer camp and baking camp and all that, but you were pretty laser focused, and I think you wanted to win this thing. Who was your biggest competition in the tent for the whole season, not just right up till the end there?
Who's my biggest competition? I always wanted to get right the way through, and I'm a pretty competitive guy, which comes through in sports and, as it turns out, in baking as well. but generally, it didn't feel like a competition until quite far down the line.
Okay.
So it's hard to, you weren't thinking about like who was going to be there to beat you. You were just focused on what you were making. So I'm going to skirt around that question and not give you an answer.
That's fair. That's fair.
Before I let you go, Peter, got to play a little game. Besides the contestants, we've mentioned them a couple of times. There's a big four on the Great British Bake Off. You got judges Paul Hollywood and Prue Leith, the hosts, Noel Fielding, and this year, Matt Lucas. I'm going to give you one of the big four, and I want you to give me an NBA player comparison for each of them. We're going to start with Mr. Handshake himself, Paul Hollywood.
Paul, so I've brainstormed this with my brother to make sure that we get these spot on, because we need to do a good job here. Paul, we've gone for Chris Paul. So he knows the game inside out. You know, he's exceptionally experienced and well-respected. But also, you know, if something's not right, he's going to let you know that it's not right. And he's gonna tell you.
Chris Paul Hollywood, I love it. What's it like to get a handshake from him?
A handshake it shouldn't be such a big deal, but I was just on the floor with it. I was so giddy. Couldn't stop smiling.
Yeah, it was I think you mentioned that Star Baker on your bake-off bucket list. I assume a handshake is as well. Was there anything else that was on your bucket list that you checked off?
Winning, first in the technical, of course. And winning, yeah. I think that's it. Bake-off completed it.
Not bad, not bad. That's how you cross them off the list. All right, Peter, next one. Prue, who's an NBA comparison for Prue Leith?
Prue, so we've got an option here. Dwayne Wade or Serge Ibaka, because she's very fashionable. She's got quite a calm demeanor and she's incredibly kind. So we think those two fit really well.
I think that's pretty, seems accurate to me. I really like those comparisons. Let's move on to the host of the show.
Prue's glasses, very, very similar to Serge's scarves, right? I mean, they're always on point, always make a statement. Peter, you nailed it. You nailed it.
We like to see it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. Moving on to the hosts. Who's an NBA comparison for Matt Lucas, new to the show this season?
Matt, so we've also got two here. We're hedging our bets a bit. We've got Ja Morant and Tyler Hero. So they're the new guys, but they fit straight into the team and they're performing at an elite level. I think Matt has performed at an elite level this season. And also, I think that they seem like really good locker room guys. Keep the mood nice and light, have fun. And that's what Matt did all the way through.
All right, final one. Almost the reason I started watching Bake Off was when it came to Netflix and I saw that Noel, one of the stars of The Mighty Boosh, had joined the show. You talk about big fits. This guy's looks are incredible. Give me an NBA comparison for Noel.
That's true. We didn't really go on the fashion line for this one. We picked Steven Adams for him. You know, they've got the flowing locks, quite eccentric guys. Fan favorites, of course, and Noel is really, he's really good at sports, he's really athletic, and I feel Steven Adams, he could do any sport to an elite level, so yeah, Steven Adams and Noel, that's what we've chosen.
I like it. The big hulking presence too. I don't think I would have guessed Steven Adams, but that's a crazy comparison. I love it, Peter.
That's been good fun to think, and we spent far too long thinking about this going through potential players.
What's it like interacting with Matt and Noel? Are they, it's got to be a little bit of a tough one for you where you're like, I'm trying to focus on making sure I'm doing the absolute best I can. But like you're saying, I'm making a TV show here too.
They always made it fun. I think sometimes it was just completely random and you just had no idea what was going on. But it was always good fun when they came around. And, you know, when the cameras are off, they'd also know exactly the right time. If you needed just that little bit of support, they could speak to everyone in the right way. So they kind of, it can get a bit tense in the tent. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, kept everyone grounded, kept them under control and calm, knew when people needed a laugh, knew when people needed a bit of space. So they're just absolute professionals and pros at what they were doing. And they made the tent such a fun place to be.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like that. Did you have any bakes during the season that you thought were underrated by the judges?
Ooh, underrated bakes. What did I think? I had some steamed buns in Japanese week that I really loved, but I think I technically messed them up a little bit. So comments were probably fair, but I really loved those a lot. They were good, tasty.
I think that's the week where the baking's a little bit different, right? Because you also have to cook the fillings. You have to actually be making your fillings. Is that something? I mean, obviously you're comfortable doing it. You're the champ, man. But is that something that you dread a little when you're coming into the season thinking, all right, this is a little bit different. This isn't just straight up baking.
No, I like cooking as well. And it's quite nice to do some savory stuff because when you bake, you're normally on cakes and biscuits. And
sure.
All of the crew love it when it's a savory bake because people get, I mean, I'll never get fed up of cake, but some people get a bit fed up and tired of all the sweet stuff. So something nice and savory coming in. Everyone likes a bit of a break from it.
Well, Peter, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today. I had to mute you on Instagram during the finale. Didn't want to get spoiled, but we're back in action now. Can you let people know where they can find you, where they can follow you, what you're going to be up to?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at Peter_Bakes. And then I don't really know what's going to be happening. I'm just sort of writing this and seeing what's what, so you can keep up to date with me there. But thanks so much for having me on the show. It's been an absolute blast. It really has.
It's really fun, Peter. Thank you so much. And thanks to everybody who's listening out there, whether it's on the podcast, on the Athletic app, which you can subscribe to at theathletic.com/nodunks for that sweet buy one, give one action. Or thank you if you're checking this out on YouTube. Follow us everywhere at No Dunks Inc. That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, even a weak TikTok page. Get your No Dunks merch at nodunks.com and keep your eyes peeled for new items coming very soon. We'll be back Monday with a new episode of Beach Steppin'. Then Tuesday is the great basketball tip-off. Clipper Bros!
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.